Welcome back to the program. In this segment, we're going to meet one of the gentlemen who have inspired so many others with his work, and his name is Ched Bukraki, if I've pronounced it correctly. His new book is called From the Bottom Up. We met him about a year and a half ago when he was on this program. That was before we went daily, so hopefully I'm sure we have a whole new audience who will be thrilled to meet this man. Very inspiring story. Since his boyhood, going back to the days when he stared at the Mississippi River through his kitchen window in East Moline, Illinois, Chad has had a symbiotic relationship with rivers. As a teen, he worked with the Mississippi along there as a shell diver, and it was then that he began to notice the garbage in the water and along the shore. From bottles to refrigerators, tractors to tires, the Great Mississippi was becoming a dumping ground for locals who discarded their trash and turned their backs. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you decided to do something about it. I love that spirit.
That's pretty much what it was, you know.
One piece of garbage at a time, and now you have a book. Tell us what transpired between that first piece of trash and deciding to write a book about your adventures along the river.
Well, quite a bit, I'll tell you. It's been I've been doing it for 10 years now. I started when I was just a college student, and pretty much just I got sick of seeing all the, you know, thousands of refrigerators and appliances and cars dumped over the bank and bottles, and you name it, it's out there, thousands of barrels, and just wanted to do something about it and try to get it going when I was 17, and, you know, I tried to call the state, and I just didn't know how to present it, and as far as the cleanup itself, and anyway, I saw a NASCAR race on TV when I was going to college, and that gave me an idea to get a sponsor, and so in 97, I started cleaning with my shell diving boat and just using it as like a floating dumpster and loading my parents' yard up, which is our house is right on the river. So, and they weren't too thrilled because they were out of town. But anyway, what do you say?
Now they're proud, I'm sure.
But yeah, they are. So actually, they are.
It sounds like as well they should be. You got quite a few sponsors. Has that really made a difference in your ability to go wider and deeper?
It really has. From myself, just working out there with one sponsor. Now I have just a ton of sponsors that really are very generous to us, and we have now 10 full-time staff, and I live with a crew of 8 to 10 on a barge, just like a ranch style house on a barge, and we travel throughout the Midwest, pretty much. We work on the Mississippi River, the Ohio, the Illinois, the Missouri, and pull out thousands and thousands of barrels, tires, appliances, that sort of thing, and load. It's actually four barges tied into one. So, and it's kind of like a floating recycling center. So we travel and just do our work and set up large scale community cleanups. Right now, I'm working in Washington D.C. on the Potomac River in Anacostia for a month, and it's another place that's really, really trashed.
Of course, I'm sure you are asked all the time, what's the strangest thing you've pulled out of the water?
Well, we found two messages in bottles. Well, my buddy found one that I work with. He found one down in Potomac, and I was working on the Anacostia today, and I found another one. Mine was kind of boring, but his was pretty cool. It said, what did it say? He just called me a couple hours ago and said, I found one, because we kind of compete for who gets the most messages and bottles. His one was, it said, I'm trapped in a cabin. Please help me. This and that. And then if you turn the page over, it said, please bring steak sauce. So I don't know what the deal is with that. But you find a lot of bowling balls all over. You name it, we've found bodies before. We've found prosthetic legs. And I do mean legs, like more than one. Just, mannequin parts, anything from, you know, pulling out vans and cars and cutting up old, you know, tugboats. Just, you name it, a variety of different things. But it makes the job really interesting. You never know what you're going to find. And it can make for good fun for, you know, the crew and stuff like that.
No 2 days are ever the same. Good
they're
for you,
really
good
not.
Spirit.
No, they're really not.
That's hard work. So I hope you're well paid for it, you and your crew, through these sponsorships.
Not really well paid, but I try to you know, do the best I can for everybody I work with, because they do. We work, like, pretty much, you know, 27 days out of the month, and we're always go. There's so much to do, and there's only so many of us, and so we try to get as many people as involved as we can. But as far as the pay goes, it's okay, but none of us are getting rich at it. But,
and that's not why you're doing it, of course. And I just asked that question just because it's so nice to at least start to see environmental work getting some pay, if not good pay.
There's no reason why people shouldn't get paid. I mean, there's so many people in the environmental community that work really hard, and they should. And mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, it is kind of weird that a lot of people don't get paid
as
good as they should. But
hopefully
things
that's
changing. Are changing.
Yep. As well, they should. This is important work. I mean,
honestly,
I can't think of any more
important work.
I've noticed
that in just our participation levels just in the last 2 years. I don't know if it's just because more people have heard of us, or maybe it's my great jokes. I think that might have something to do with it. I'm kidding about that. It's probably not the reason. But I think things are really getting a lot better. I really do. And more people are really wanting to do, get involved in not just this organization, but I've heard it from others too. Like, people are really starting to step up, and we're fortunate enough to work with a lot of different people from all spectrums, no matter what their political backgrounds are or whatever. Like, nobody likes seeing barrels and tires and refrigerators in the river. So it takes everybody, and that's really what I've stuck with, and I figured that out quick.
It takes a village. Now, you're making more than a dent in cleaning up rivers. Do you feel like you're really cleaning them up and they're going to stay pretty clean? I mean, people are always going to toss something in there. Hopefully our consciousness has evolved to a point where you wouldn't see refrigerators and tires thrown in a river today. Is that accurate? Or are you going back to the same places and seeing and pulling out the same kind of things?
You know what? It depends on where you're at. And I'll explain, but one of the biggest successes I've seen since I started is, for instance, the Upper Mississippi River, which is pretty much our main focus. But I've been working in some of these towns and cities for, the last 10 years, some of them 8 years, 7 years, 6 years, whatever. But so many, I cannot tell you, there's so many towns that we've been to and worked in there. You go back to scout it out, and there's nothing to pick up.
Isn't that wonderful? You put yourself out of a job. You love to work out of a job, right?
And that's exactly what it is. And we go to other places that need it really bad and communities that want us to come there. But I'm not kidding you. Like, so many towns, most of the towns, there's nothing to do there. And at one time, the mentality's changed about how people view the river and see the river. Even, there's a lot of redevelopment on the river. Everybody's turning the river into their front door, which for a long time was kind of their back door, treated as a sewer or whatever. But things are changing, and I really have seen the positive effects of that in the work, and just the lack of, I should say, through the years. But that's on the Upper Mississippi River. And you go down to the Ohio River, and just to give you an instance, 6 of us in a 20-mile stretch pulled out over 100 refrigerators out of the water. That's just refrigerators. That's not including the thousands of tires and all that. That's different. People view the river down there differently. Just a different mentality of how they see their streams, lakes, small rivers, big rivers, that sort of thing. But I keep to it, and change is slow, but it's kind of like a barge or a train. Once you get that momentum going, it's hard to stop.
Just like consciousness raising, once you get people educated, they don't get uneducated, hopefully.
That's exactly it. And I think the act of just working hard and doing it and having barge loads of the results, it's paying off in so many ways, and that definitely is the biggest one. Just having people see that you're out there, and then also shows like this really help out too. It gets the word out, and
thank you.
It really does. Like, the power of the media has really been a driving force as well. Like, people have been very receptive to the concept and the work and how we do it, and it's took the organization as far as and the operation very far.
Well, you're a walking example of the power of one, and we applaud you. It must feel great to have waged this crusade and see people really see you and your crew making such a big difference.
Yeah, no, the reason I put the book out is really just to let people know that, nothing's real. It's not supposed to be easy, and hopefully people will be inspired to say, if this guy can do this, then I can get involved with this organization, not ours or anything, just any organization for any cause. It doesn't even necessarily have to be environmental. It can just be any cause. Like, get involved in the organization, not just show up for a meeting, but actually put your energy into it, make the organization better, bring your resources to it.
Roll up your sleeves, get your hands a little dirty, make a difference, right? Clean up your environment.
That's exactly it. And I mean, I've had such a good response so far just from the book. I'm really happy that I was able to do it. But, you know, I put it out for selfish reasons as well, not just to inspire people, but people were telling me, do you remember when this happened, this boat sank or this? And I was vaguely remembering what they were talking about. And I'm like, you know, it's been 10 years since I started.
Better write it all down
and get it into some sort of form so I can...
You're a young man. I'm an older woman, and the memory doesn't get better. So I'm glad you've written this book. Thank you so much, Chet Pagracki, for your wonderful work. Keep it up. From the bottom up, it's a book, One Man's Crusade to Clean America's Rivers. We just have about a minute left, and that's time for our tip of the day. I have some special guests in studio to help me at spring break. So I have my daughter, Jenna Zimmerman, and her friend, Shoshana Feld, to read us the nerdy book, Tip of the Day, Just the Facts Man on the Environment. What you got, girls?
You may have heard that idling at a stop sign could be very dangerous for the environment. But did you know that shutting off and restarting your car is hard on the engine and uses more gas than idling?
Yes. Frequent restarting has little impact on the engine components like the battery and the starter motor. Components were caused by restarting the engine adds only about $10 per year. You'll save far more than that by not wasting gas idling your car.
Thank you, girls. Tomorrow's generation of environmentalists, Jenna and Shoshana, sixth graders on spring break. That'll do it for this section. We'll be back right after the news break with more news and views you can use. Thanks, girls.